This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Thursday, February 11th, 2010. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Toastmasters Podcast. My name is Bo Bennett.
And my name is Ryan Levesque.
And today, Ryan, what are we going to be chatting about?
Well, Bo, we're going to be talking about inspiration. You know, I think back to the first 10 speeches I gave as a new Toastmaster, Bo, and I'm sure you can relate to this. Some of them, I had to really force myself to come up with a topic and write the speech.
You?
But
no.
Yes, absolutely. But then those few speeches among those first 10 where inspiration struck, and I grabbed a notepad and a pen, and it was almost like I couldn't write fast enough to keep up with the flow of ideas, and I was just so excited to get up there and deliver this speech. So while many of us can maybe relate to that experience of inspiration, maybe we haven't taken the time to think about how to actually get inspired on command, so to speak. But that's what our guest Joel Pargar is going to help us do today. He's going to help us find inspiration all around us.
Can't wait to talk to him.
Me too.
Let's do it.
And joining us now is Mr. Joel A. Pargar. Joel is the president of Parker Toastmasters in Parker, Colorado. He's a professional speaker as well as a coach and club mentor. And Joel wrote an article in the January 2010 issue of the Toastmaster magazine all about finding inspiration all around you. Joel Pargar, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Joel.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Great to have you with us. Joel, let's get right to it by starting out the way Socrates would have us start, and that's by defining the terms. So could you tell us, what is inspiration, and why is inspiration important?
Well, you know, to be inspired, in my view, is to have an emotional connection to whatever you're talking about. So if you want to be able to really captivate your audience and get them to feel what you're feeling, there has to be emotion behind what you're speaking about. And so that's where the inspiration comes from.
Hey, Joel, are you inspired now?
Absolutely. All absolutely. Right. I'm inspired to talk about this topic with you guys.
You know, because we don't want you doing this podcast if you're not inspired. If you're just going through the motions, we don't want you. We'll do it another time. We'll get somebody else.
I'm always inspired. I've been called worse things, but inspired is pretty good.
All right. It's good cool. to know.
So what's the difference between simply having an idea for a speech that you think, well, I could talk about that, that could work, and really being inspired to give a speech?
Again, I don't mean to repeat myself, but it's that emotional connection. So when you give a speech for Toastmasters, sometimes it can feel like you're just going through the motions, right? There's mm-hmm. a speech that you have to do. There's 10 speeches in the Competent Communicator Manual. And you've got to go through and accomplish these 10 things. And I've worked with people in our club here in the Parker Toastmasters that have a hard time finding that inspiration, right? They get mm-hmm. an assignment out of the Competent Communicator Manual, and they don't give the speech with passion. They don't. You can tell when they give the speech, they're just kind of going through the motions. So when you're inspired about a speech, you want to make sure that it's the subject that you know about, that you have a feeling or an opinion about. Mm-hmm. And even though you may not be interested in, say, that particular assignment in the Competent Communicator Manual, it's still possible to give an inspiring speech about it. But you have to relate it back to something in your life, your kids, your family, your job, you know, something that you're close to. If you're giving a speech about a what I call a detached subject, mm-hmm. it's going to be very difficult for you to be really into that speech. It's also difficult to memorize, for lack of a better term, or to really know the material. And that comes through when you're up there on the stand or at the podium and actually presenting your material. If you don't have that inspired feeling, that inspired look, and can't really give it with passion, that comes through to your audience.
Right. Well, I guess the big question, Joel, is how do you get this inspiration? We've all been up there giving speeches, and I would say that certainly not all of my speeches, especially going through the manuals, had this kind of inspiration, this emotional energy that caused me to do the best I can. I mean, admittedly, a lot of the speeches I gave were, all right, let's see what I do the other day. All right, let's make a speech out of that. How do you find this inspiration?
That's a great question. It's a great question. And so in the article that I did for the January Toastmasters magazine, this is a very common question that comes from a lot of our new members. And I sit down and I have these kinds of discussions with them, and that's almost verbatim the question they ask me is, how do I get inspired? When you look at everything you do in your life, you have passion about something. A lot of people are in their chosen line of work because they like what they're doing. They married their spouse because they're in love with that person. They're into their kids. They're into sports. They're into certain activities, and it's tying whatever that speech is back to what's in your own personal life. So I agree with you. Some of the Toastmasters competent communicator speeches, they're an exercise, and they're there for a reason, right? They're to help you learn, help you develop, and they're good exercises to have. But it can be difficult to find that emotional inspiration for that particular speech. And so if you look at your daily life, you can find either something funny, something serious, something moving. Something happens to you every day, I would bet, that you could make a speech out of. And when I did the article for the magazine, I took a seemingly uninteresting topic at the time, which was interviewing people for a job at my real day job, and turned that into a funny one of my quote-unquote top 10 greatest hit speeches that I've been asked to do over and over again. It's not difficult once you connect that speech back to something in your everyday life and something that you are passionate about.
Right. Let's remind our listeners, for those who did not get to read the article, or maybe those who did who don't recall it, just give us a brief 30 seconds about what that speech was and how it was inspired.
So I was interviewing probably a dozen different candidates for a job that I had available on my team down in the Dallas, Texas market. Mm-hmm. It was very difficult to find the right candidate. And I was really, honestly, it was a high stress time for me. I had to find somebody for this position. I was interviewing candidate after candidate after candidate, and they weren't making the cut. I mean, I literally had one guy that got all the way through the interview process with me.
Uh-huh.
It said, Joel, thanks for your interview time. Thank you for making me an offer, but I really don't want your job. I want a job with one of your peers out in Boston. And I figured if I could make it through the interview with you, that you could hire me for that position in Boston. And so the last guy, he was so nervous during the interview, and I could tell. I mean, he was literally shaking during the interview. And when he finally made it through the interview, I went to go shake his hand and congratulate him and, say good job and all that kind of stuff, and he threw up on me. So it was an odd time. It was a stressful time, and I made that one of my funniest speeches ever. And you can kind of tell from that material how you could sculpt that into something interesting, something funny.
So did you have any – what did you say after this guy threw up on you? Did you have any quick comeback or quick line or anything? Or was it just that really awkward moment?
Honestly, he felt so bad, and he says, you're probably not going to hire me now, are you? And no, we didn't. We didn't end up hiring. We did find a good candidate. It's one of those things where I actually gave him my card and said, call me about Toastmasters, because that was a perfect venue or perfect opportunity to promote some Toastmasters.
Yeah,
so to the best of my knowledge, he did join the club down in the Dallas, Texas area.
Mm. Could have said, hey, looks like lunch is on me.
Ba-dum-ching. Hey, Joel, let me ask you this, because this is something a lot of new Toastmasters will often struggle with. When you're taking an experience like you just described and translating it into a speech, is it okay, in your opinion, to maybe embellish a little bit, maybe not stick exactly to all the facts, strictly how they occurred, for the sake of making the speech a little more interesting and condensing the narrative?
Are you suggesting he lies, Ryan?
So I know I think I understand what you're getting at, and I will answer the question as yes, it's okay, mm-hmm. with an exception. And that exception for me is, as long as you don't distort the facts, but you add emphasis. So when I talked about the guy throwing up on me, when you get a little, you can get descriptive there and talk about his violent lurching or whatever. I don't want to nauseate any of the listeners, but
right.
you can certainly use a lot of adjectives and descriptors to maybe emphasize the event and make it a little bit more dramatic than maybe it actually was.
Right.
But I'm not a big fan of, especially when I'm on the platform, of distorting the truth or the facts or anything like that. So, don't lie. That's actually my rule number one. Don't lie when you're up there, because people will find you out.
Right.
Or, you know, it'll destroy your credibility as a speaker. But I absolutely think it's okay to, you know, dramatize or overemphasize and make it more interesting for your audience.
Right.
Right.
But not okay if the guy just popped a couple of Alka-Seltzer to turn it into him.
Yeah,
up
exactly.
On.
Yeah, gotcha. If he burped or something.
I still have the dirty tie to prove it.
So. Oh, boy.
As long as you got the proof.
Yeah.
Now, Joel, what about for members who've been around for a while? I understand you've done a lot of coaching with the new members who are trying to find ideas for their first speeches, but you have the veteran Toastmasters who maybe sometimes think, geez, I've already given all the speeches I have in me. What can you do to coax speech ideas and inspiration out of them?
You know, that's another great question. You guys are doing really good with the interview here.
Thank you.
The older members or the people that have been around Toastmasters for a while, I think it's almost more challenging for them because they're almost a different generation, to be quite honest. Uh-huh. And as we're doing this podcast for hopefully a new generation of Toastmaster, I think it's a little bit more difficult for some of the folks that have been around 10, 20, even 30 years. We have a longtime member in our club. Our club has been around that long. It can be difficult for them to sort of change their ways and to think about new ideas. They're used to doing, you know, very prepared, very memorized speeches, doing, you know, strict material. And for them to find inspiration, for them to find something that they really want to talk about, mm-hmm. can be somewhat of a challenge for them. I give them the same advice and coaching that I would give a new member, but I will tell you, I think it's harder for a veteran Toastmaster to sort of change their style a little bit and develop some new content and material than it is for somebody new coming into a new club to learn something for the very first time. I think the newbies actually have a much easier time of picking this concept up. And to be quite honest, is when I coach the newer members, they get it faster. When I go to a club that has been established for a while, one of the things they commonly say is that our speeches are stale. People aren't interested. They don't, you know, they listen, but they don't really listen. Mm-hmm. And so I try to help them through that and try to help them spice up their speeches and come up with something that's inspiring for them, going through the same steps with the veteran members that I would with a new member.
Nice. So, Joel, how many speeches have you given so far?
For Toastmasters?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so for Toastmasters, I speak for Toastmasters several times a month at different clubs, not only in our club, but you know, different clubs around the Denver area. I mean, if you're going to pin me down to a number, I'd probably say that I've done in the last 18 months probably 50 to 60 speeches.
We need an exact number. Is it
exact,
is it 50 or 60?
53.
Okay. Yeah. And what was the average length? No, I'm just joking. My question, the reason that I'm going in this line of questioning is every single speech that you have been giving, was that filled with the inspiration or were some just kind of going through the steps?
You know, one of the things that I think is the key to my speaking and the way that I present, I don't memorize my speeches. Mm-hmm. And so for me, when I am passionate about something, I remember the major bullets or per se of what I want to talk about, but usually it's when I'm up in front of an audience, it's fresh. I've never delivered the same speech per se twice. Everything is slightly different from time to time. And I know there's some, I'm also a member of the Colorado Speakers Association. There are a number of people there that believe in you need to memorize your entire speech, and that's the only way you can get really good at it. And I respect that opinion and that view of things. That just doesn't work for me. If something happens in the audience that's distracting and I forget where I'm at, that can really muddle up my speech, and I don't want to take that chance. Again, for me, just memorizing the major bullets of the speech and speaking inspired, like while I'm there, because I know my subject, I'm passionate about what I'm talking about, it makes it much easier for me to deliver the content and deliver content that people want to hear.
And does it get easier to find that inspiration as you practice more or deliver more speeches?
Yes. So again, one of the keys is you want to stay with subjects that you know about and that you can talk about and that you have some what I call authority on, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been in my day job, I've been in the technology business for 20 years. I could talk about almost anything relating to technology and even come up with, you know, impromptu table topic speeches, anything around technology. You throw me into something to talk about gardening, you know, I would be lost. And so if you stick to your genre, so to speak, I think it gets easier and easier the more you practice, and it's easier and easier to develop that content because that inspiration stays with you. If you're an adult and you've been doing something for a very long period of time, you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't enjoy it. And if you stick along that path, it's very easy to develop the content to talk about.
All right. Great. Good stuff, Joel.
Lots of inspirational content on the show today.
I'm inspired. How about you, Ryan?
Absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely. And Joel, for our listeners who are inspired to learn a little bit more about you and perhaps your work as a professional speaker, how can they find out?
You know, the best way, if you want to email me, is my email is jpogar@gmail.com. No spam, please. I do travel quite a bit around the country, and if I'm in your area, you'd like me to stop by your club and just visit or chat or even do an impromptu speech, I'd be more than happy to do that.
Great.
Fantastic.
Well, thanks, Joel. It's been nice speaking with you.
You too. Thanks very much for your time, guys.
All right. You take care.
See ya.
All righty.
Bye. All righty. I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as we did. Hey, Ryan, do we have any listener feedback this week?
Yes, in fact, we do, Bo. We had a message that just came in today. James from OC writes, "Hi there. That Toastmasters podcast is cool. Toastmasters International has come a long way since I was a kid going to those Toastmasters meetings with my mom, eating breakfast and listening to people's speeches. Thanks to attending those, later in life I was always poised in speeches, rarely nervous, and it may have helped me make my free throws in high school, if we had only had computers and podcasts in 1981. That's cool. I'll keep on tuning in to the Toastmasters podcast." Well, thanks for that, James. We're glad to have you listening.
Thank you, James. And to anybody else who would like to send us feedback, we'd love to hear from you. We don't get a lot of feedback here in the Toastmasters podcast, despite the fact that we ask for it every episode. How could they get in touch with us, Ryan, if they want to give us feedback?
Well, we'd love it if you would give us a call at our listener feedback voicemail line at 1-888-451-8862. Of course, you can send us an email, podcast@toastmasters.org. You can post on our blog at toastmasterspodcast.com, or find us on Twitter, twitter.com/thetmpodcast. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, everybody, and thank you for tuning in this week. We'll see you next time. My name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Bye-bye, everybody. Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.